Thursday. We are going to start the department, followed by CCIS. We have a short break and come to FPD and Nosikasa. Then MDDA. After lunch, we then have Nosikasa and FPD. And each presentation should take 15 minutes. We are actually not going to get into the business of the meetings and whatever, but straight to the point as to the achievements, the plans moving forward, the challenges, and stuff like the most crucial areas for the department and entities as well. Minister, always have a special welcome when you are here. We know that you cannot press the seat for swimming. Maybe there's no need for that because you are also obliged to be here. But during the school of ministers, we really appreciate your coming here. And we have here apologies that we request the service to go through. Our secretary is off-sick, and the lady here will introduce herself. She's standing for the swimming course. If you can get to the apologies.
Good morning, Honourable Minister, Honourable Members, and everyone. My name is Loli Kumelele Sibisi. I am standing in for Temer Osi. Fortunately, I am also serving one in SOPI committee that deals with communications, so I'm familiar with issues. Thank you. These apologies that we have, I have one from the Council of FPD who cannot be with us today. Okay, the Council could not be with us today because due to a long-term arrangement in terms of which he could not be is expected to travel abroad. Thank you.
Colleagues, I think we should note that the apology of the chairperson of the CD, and I just want to put on record that this is the last time that you allow them to make a presentation in the absence of the chairperson. There's always an apology about the chairperson. And there's also another challenge when people are serving many boards, you see. So a person should be at different places at the same time. It has been a single apology and it is noted. We are really not taking in kind. Minister, I think before we start, we should maybe get the opening remarks from yourself before the discussion starts.
Thank you, Chair. I wonder how many minutes we are in. Okay. How many minutes we are in? It was 15 minutes like others. Okay. Thank you so much, Chair. I think the NGCs will introduce themselves elsewhere when they make the presentation today. Whatever will be making the presentation, she will be able to introduce the NGCs, okay? Members of the NGCs. That includes the two departments, GCIS and DOC, they will do that. But I want to thank you for affording us this opportunity to address this meeting with regard to the APPs of the two departments and strategic plans, as well as the entities that report to the Department of Communication. We're going to be presenting to you the stress test, annual performance plan. Yeah, and just you highlighted that this is what we need to present. I think the team will be clearly. And then I also highlight that when mentioning the entities, you didn't mention the brand names. And so when I did, we need to present, we mentioned all the entities. Brand names was not mentioned. But I want to say up front that the resolution of the ruling party, which is the AEC, are put into the change in government within the context of the medium term strategic framework. Simultaneously, the outcomes of government are a narrative framework for implementing the ANC manifesto, which is our promise to our people. As government, we have an opportunity to serve our people better and enable the citizens to pursue their dreams. We have embraced as a department the outcomes approach and aligned our programs with those of the state-owned companies to ensure that they are giving practical effect to the ministerial settlement agreement. Our flagship programs, whether in government communication policy, broadcasting, and nation building and social cohesion, are geared to set the country on a higher growth trajectory. It's our commitment as a department of communication and the government communication and information system to say all municipalities should have access to community. That's the commitment that we also want to assure you today. As you are aware, for now, we have over 140 community radio stations that have been licensed, and many of these are operating. However, the MDDA will also deal with these issues as they present their threat. However, an estimated around 90 to 100 municipalities in the country, as we speak now, are without a community radio station. In this regard, the Department of Communication, together with GCIS, will work with the MCDA to provide support to the community radio station by providing infrastructure to new radio stations whose license were granted, but not issued prior to the CASA's issuing of a moratorium. The other issue what I want to highlight here is the funding of the SABC that remains very critical. On SABC public funding of up to 60%, that's what the resolution of the ruling party has been saying. Public contribution to the revenues of the SABC still remains at less than 20%. The 60% quota funding requirement remains a distinct possibility. This has a profound effect on the nature and extent of services provided by the SABC. I won't deal much with the state of the mission address and the impact of the ministry portfolio in the sector. But I want to highlight the following, that in his ninth state of the mission address, President Jacob Zuma said, "A resilient and fast-growing economy is at the heart of our digital economic transformation agenda and our national development plan." The President pronounced the following plans with nice growth and great jobs. Number one was the need to empower small, medium, and micro enterprises to accelerate their growth. And then state reform and boosting the role of state-owned companies to streamline and sharpen the mandate of the state-owned companies, ensure that where they are overlapping the mandate, we will make sure that we close the gap, and the promotion of inclusion in non-racial society. I'm raising all these issues because they impact on our workers and departments. And then the commitment of the ADP target over the medium strategic framework. I'll just highlight the key issues the entities will zoom in as they present so that they deal with the details of the issue. With regard to the Department of Communication, the program you know is digital terrestrial television. Over the MTS period, the two departments, most GCIS included in terms of their support in driving the communication. ICASA and all entities will continue to play a vital role in driving strategic government communication and enabling of economic growth in the ICT sector through the broadcasting infrastructure rollout and also the rolling out of the flagship project in particular. In support of the National Infrastructure Plan, the department is currently rolling out set-top boxes to the Northern Cape and Free State. Registration is currently underway in Mpumalanga and Limpopo. That also includes Northwest Lab. From 2010-11 financial year to 2014-15 financial year, the broadcasting population coverage increased by 4.7 million and geographical coverage by 129.4 square kilometers. Centech, on the other hand, has completed all 178 migration sites, which provides the population coverage of 84% and geographical coverage of 58%. The 16% of the population for digital terrestrial television will be covered by the direct-to-home satellite jet filler solution. With regard to the Department of Government Communication and Information Systems, the GCIS will develop an overarching national policy to guide government communications and also guide the implementation of the qualification for government communicators. In addition, the department is busy also implementing the cabinet-approved national communication strategy, which is cascaded to all other spheres of government. Also, GCIS supports other departments and government clusters to ensure that current and relevant information is made available to the media and citizens in the various platforms. The other critical issue which I believe is of interest to US members is with regard to the modernization of the government communication social service centers. Honorable members, you will agree with me that designing e-government too narrowly as electronic service delivery can only result in exercises that are overly complex and costly. Such a definition can also mean the transformative potential of e-government to speed up decision-making. So through our multimedia platforms and social service centers, this has enabled us to drive the modernization of the public sector, improve government business processes, and enhance access to government communication services by citizens. Coming to the work of our regulator, ICASA, the biggest beneficiaries of the ICT sector are the general public. Therefore, both regulatory and market failures affect the general public in terms of the quality of service, availability, accessibility, as well as affordability of products. To this end, the independent regulator safeguards the interests of the over 64 million citizens who use and interact with ICT services in their everyday life. With regard to the market trends and future plans in the sector, Centech, working with the National Association of Broadcasters and South African Digital Broadcasting Association, launched the DAB Plus Digital Radio Trial Transmission. Once finalized, this new platform will transform the sector by unlocking the numerous and new existing opportunities. Then it also linked our work with the work of the other department of telecom that deals with the issue of broadband connectivity, which is very important. And then on regulation matters, I think it's prudent to share with members that 5G is presently in its early research stages. The ICU is currently at work on the IMT spectrum requirements for we hold a view that some of the pronouncements will be done during our policy statement, budget, which I think is the policy statement, if I'm not mistaken. We take full responsibility knowing that the strategic goals and key performance indicators for the annual performance plans in the current financial year will be the main basis upon which this portfolio committee will evaluate the performance of these two departments, the regulator, and also the all the entities when the annual report for the year is submitted in Parliament in next year, September, sort of October 2017. And then the other issue that the cross-cutting report of the AGM also I thought we need to deal with the issue of performance management and vacancies. While across the entire portfolio, vacancy rate is relatively low, however, we need to expedite the filling of funded vacant positions in all levels to bring about leadership stability in all our institutions. I must say upfront, Chairperson, we had a very personal meeting with the AG with all the interviews last week. This past Friday, so that we have dealt with this one. And then also, with regard to the employment PPP targets, I think the entities are committed. And then also with regard to the issue of 50% women at SMS level, as well as the employment of the 2% of people living with disability. To this end, all portfolio organizations will be monitored against their organogram to ensure that the job requirements matches with available skills and requirements. And then with regard to the public broadcaster, it might require more time in this regard. Just to say, you should be well aware that they received the award in the whole national government of them being the first entity government organization implement equity. But now, the other issue that they need to deal with is that the board has recently reported that the public broadcaster is increasing the excess of the requirements. In addition, we expect that in each quarter, all employees are to undergo performance reviews where they are getting performance personal development plans are to be implemented. And in the last quarter, all employees are to be assessed so that performance rewards are paid provided the institution has and exceeded the target set out in the ATP. To intensify also with regard to the intensifying the efforts to brand and create positive image in the country towards nation building as well as communication awareness of the GT project. Numerous parallel strategies will be implemented, including requesting ourselves as potential stakeholders who can be engaged as brand ambassadors in our program. And then I also need to highlight the weaknesses with regard to the funding issues across the entities. We also have these weaknesses. The two departments themselves, the ICASA, the SABC, MGD, Student and Publication Board, and Brand SA, they are all woefully underfunded. And we are working tirelessly to review their funding methods to ensure that long-term financial viability of these institutions as they carry their mandates respectively. We are also looking at different options, working with the whole of the government to ensure that everyone plays their part. For instance, Brand SA does not have a line authority to enforce compliance with brand frameworks across all spheres of government and to other similar entities. In the interim, collaborative work is being done to address the gap in the nation brand of the council. In the same vein, honorable members, we are working with the MDG to maximize the participation of these entity in ministerial and provincial liaison as part of the strategy to create awareness of the work they do in the communities. On governance issues, we will also like to see the governance extended to all board members of community media to maximize accountability of state resources and adherence to constitution of media projects. And with regard to the compliance on the APT charges and the SMART principle, I want to assure you, honorable members, to say with some fewer exceptions. We have endeavored to comply with the SMART principle in the process of the ACC cycle. We consulted with the National Treasury, Auditor General, and the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation. We do know that there might be further room for improvement, which we want to accept in advance before we even interrogate our presentation. However, I must point out that internal mechanism is also shown us that the target deficiencies and structuring of targets in other instances, and then in that regard, we have since issued letters to all council and board together with their respective executives to ensure that these deficiencies do not occur in the future. And then with regard to the establishment of ICASA offices in the province, I know ICASA is a blueprint in some of the offices. I'm also responding to the question that you said. Then in this financial year, we need to work with the regulator and we aim to finalize and also bring about stability to the issue of the head of the relocation of ICASA, the measure that has been in the agenda since 2008. At the same time, to cut costs in line with the authority measures announced by the President and the Minister of Finance, respectively. We hope to use existing provincial government buildings where possible to make sure that all our entities should have footprints in all the 9 provinces. The other fiscal issue that I felt I need to share with you is on our funding for public broadcasting services and public commercial services. Honorable members, when you read section 918B of the Broadcasting Act, it correctly defines that SABC consists of two separate divisions, a public service division and a commercial service division. In addition, section 2 of the Act stipulates that the public and commercial service division must be separately administered and a separate set of financial records and accounts are to be kept in respect of each division. Then when it comes to the tabling of separate annual financial statements in compliance with the Act, we take note of the SABC's request to only make public the details of the public broadcasting division, fearing that competitors often have competitive advantage in knowing what and how the commercial strategy of the SABC will unfold. In this regard, unless the SABC complies with the Broadcasting Act, which requires that the two divisions be presented separately, it will be extremely difficult to achieve what it advocates for. We do not want to sound as though we are arguing that the public broadcaster is reluctant to account, as this is the potential to create wrong perception about us, how SABC, given its historical governance issues. However, we would like to appeal to Parliament that in future, a special arrangement be made in the interim to accommodate the presentation of the commercial strategy of the SABC. A point can only be made once the two divisions have been separated as per the Act. It will also enable the SABC to comply with the Act. The other issue that I felt I need to raise with regard to the political direction is with regard to the potential impact of banning alcohol advertisements on the SAB to the SAB becomes a major risk. I won't deal much with that. I'll share a copy of my notes for the benefit of time on that issue, but I think this is a matter that we need to look at that straight to say when I'm closing. And I want to assure you that during the past years, one of the major weaknesses of the SABC amongst other groups is reluctance or failure to deal with government matters. Although the comprehensive risk identification is included as an annexure on pages 100 to 108 of the corporate plan is when they will be presented, we expect the board and the management to ensure that we move from qualified OGs to unqualified OGs with no matter of SABC, which is a matter that we need to commend the SABC because they've been trying to move from disclaimer, even the number of qualifications now, they are minimum. I think the last one is 3, so as we expect now the oncoming OGs to come with unqualified with the Islamic synthesis. So I think I need to call you and just over to you.
Thank you very much for the briefing, Minister. I think the participation knows and other times in the briefing in conjunction with the presentation that will follow. But I think before we go to the presentation as well, we have to do introduction as we want to know who to and associate the name of the station. Can you do that?
Thank you, Chair. Honorable members, my name is Donald Fuqua. I'm the Acting Director General of the GCIF.
Morning, members. My name is Ni Bonuhuare. I'm the Deputy Director General at the GCIF.
Morning, members. My name is Sandy Bene.
Honorable members and the minister and colleagues, my name is Mamadou Mjerere, Team DG of the DOC. Thank you.
Good morning, Minister and honorable members. My name is Jimmy Matthews. I'm the Team GC of the state.
Morning, Chairperson, Minister, and Honorable Members. Leah Kubalo, Deputy Chair at the GC.
Morning, Chair, and Honorable Members. Claudia Masoni, CEO of the SABC.
Morning, Chair, Honorable Members and Minister. My name is James Okumbali, CFO of the SABC.
Morning, Chair, Honorable Members, Minister. My name is Arun Sizumba, Board Member.
Good morning, Chair, Honorable Members, Minister. My name is Teresa Kavnes, Company Secretary, FIDC.
My name is Honorable Members, Anthony Nunes from the SBC.
Good morning, Chair, Honorable Members and Minister, Lindy Rafael from the SBC.
Good morning, my name is Lisa Phillips, SABC.
Good morning, my name is Ayanda Cruz, SABC.
Morning, Chair, Honorable Members. My name is Lillian Parker, CIO, Film and Publication Board.
Morning, Chair, Honorable Members. Rehat Khaz, CFO of FTV.
Morning, Members. I'm Natalie Skiatis. I'm a Council Member, Film and Publication Board.
Morning, Members. Minister and Chairperson Balisa Kazi, Shared Services Executive of FTV.
Morning, Chair, Honorable Members, Minister. My name is Lufuna Nabonde, Council Member of FTV.
Good morning, Chairperson, Honorable Members, and Minister. My name is Temba Wagashi, CEO of FTV.
Morning, Members, Minister, and colleagues. My name is Kelly Sankoma, I'm the Chair of NDA Board.
Good morning, Chair, Honorable Members, Minister. My name is Kendalisha Kulebo from NDA at CTO.
Morning, Honorable Members, Minister. My name is Harold Maloka from the GCI.
Morning, Chairperson, Honorable Members, Minister. My name is Palani Lepongwa, and I'm the Chief Executive Officer at CASA.
Good morning, Chair. My name is Kinsima Kubera, I'm the CEO of Bank South Africa.
Good morning, members. My name is John Kisita, Director of the Bank of South Africa.
Good morning, members. My name is Pula Williams. I'm the acting cabinet spokesperson and GCIS. Thank you.
Morning, Chairperson. Morning, Honorable Minister. Honorable members, Rowland Williams, board member in the end.
Good morning, honourable members, Chairperson, honourable minister, Louise Dale, Chair, board of the NDDA.
Good morning, members, honourable chair, honourable minister. My name is Lindi Ngosi Mbibongo from the NDDA.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, honourable minister and members. My name is Cheryl Langridge, communications manager from the NDDA.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, Honorable Minister, colleagues. My name is Wedu Mumeka, the CFO of CCIF.
Thank you very much. I think that's all from the Catholic Department. As you don't always have the same faces, some pictures in media, and I think those who would like to know the faces from this side to associate the name to the faces. Can we get introduction from the members?
Morning, colleagues. My name is Mosley. I'm a member of the Portfolio Committee.
My name is
Good morning, everyone. I'm Sharon from
Scout. Morning, everyone. Minister, my name is Maestela Kigali from the ANC.
Morning, everyone. My name is Gabriel Frida, member of the committee.
Morning, I'm Veronica van Dijk from the VI.
Once again, good morning to honourable members, Chairperson, and the Minister, and colleagues from the entities. Once again, let me introduce the team. My name is Naman Mbelele, Team DG of the DSP. With me is Mrs. Secretary Chindisa, the new CFO. She has just started on the 5th of April this year. And Ms. Makope Kuti, Chief Director responsible for Corporate Services in the Department. one of our colleagues, is running this place and he's joining us. The legal services director. This is the overview of the presentation. We focus on the compliance statement, strategic overview, also this regional analysis, 2016-1920 strategic plan, focus on the staff resourcing, the MTF budget, and the APP, and then conclusion. This slide here, honorable members, seeks to indicate that in the development of the staff plan and the APP, we have complied with the various statutes and regulations which governs how staff plans and annual plans are developed. In terms of the PFMA, trade regulations, and framework for strategic planning and annual development plan. As Minister has indicated, this is informed by the National Development Plan and the medium term strategic framework of government. In the main, on the area that talks to mission building and social cohesion. The slides here, honorable members, seek to indicate that our strategic planning process, we started in July, August, where we do the first planning session. In August, we do the first draft of the draft plan and the APTA submitted to BPM, National Treasury. October, we address the comments as they come from GPE and update the strategy, the documents accordingly. November, second draft to GPM, National Treasury. December, address the comments. So there's quite a very detailed and scrutinized process that we undertake in getting the strategy document developed. I must say, honorable members, that we also had a session with all the entities in our stable in January to ensure that there's alignment and coherence in terms of our priorities as we implement the major term strategic framework of various entities. This slide seeks to provide a context within which we operate in terms of the various sectors that forms the communications sector. In the main, in the print media, what this slide seeks to do is that at a macro level, we've seen that how things were in 1994, they were the same, we have four big conglomerates. However, we take note of the fact that there has been introduction of various community print media houses, I think thanks to the NGO and those that we've done over the years. And I think we also take note of the fact that challenges remain, especially if you look at the value chain, which is a critical input into how the sector functions, especially in the two areas, print, in the printing side, and also the advertising spend. That has to be shared between this conglomerate and the community print media. This slide talks to the broadcasting sector. In the main, I think we, when you look at a macro level once again, there appears to be competition because you do have a number of players in the space with the current broadcaster leading the pack. And also seven licensed private and commercial TV operators in South Africa. But when you look at the value chain once again, especially around areas that talks to access to premium content, that's one area in that see that I think is we need to intervene and ensure that there is a parity and equal access to such content, going forward. This slide here acknowledges the fact that we are living in a digital in a state, in an era where how access content, online content has changed. It has disrupted how we view television in a way as a result of the players here who are coming on board, the Apple, so the Google, the BlackBerry, and also the other services, the WhatsApp, you know, and all of those, they change how we consume content. Therefore, the department will have to come with mechanisms on how we regulate access to such a content going forward. Lastly, we speak to the community print media. I think the takeaway message here is that most publications in the space appear to be in English and Afrikaans. And I think going forward, we need to focus more on ensuring that the community print media reflects demographics and the languages that, you know, as of course, in the constitution. This is our mandate, which is to create a vibrant and sustainable communication services for informed citizenry and positive image of Africa. Our mission is to create an enabling environment for the provision of inclusive communication services to all Africans in a manner that promotes socio-economic development and investment through broadcasting, new media, print media, and other new technologies and brands, the country locally and internationally. The values that we stand for, certainty of the policy environment, which in our view contributes towards attracting investment into the sector, people centered, quality standards and products of services, integrity, responsiveness and innovation, which are our values. Our strategic goals are four. One, effective and efficient strategic leadership government administration, a responsive communication policy and regulatory environment, improved country building, transformed communication sector. How to implement our mandate? We implement it by developing and reviewing communications and broadcasting policies and legislation that is for broader development of the communication sector in general. Secondly, improving communication system in order to inform and disseminate information to the public and marketing the country abroad. Thirdly, strengthening capacity of the department and that of its state-owned companies to effectively deliver on the public mandate. And lastly, broadening participation in the communication and broadcasting sector to promote economic development and transformation. These are the institutional mandates that guide our work. We will get our mandate forms, the Broadcasting Act, the Electronic Communications Act, the CASA Act, the Digital Publication Board Act, Media Development Act, and also, amongst others, the Public Service Act, the PFMA. But also, we have got international components, you know, as a department, wherein we have to participate in the multilateral forum, especially in the ITU and the World Intellectual Property Organization. This slide, you know, talks to our strategic outcome-oriented goals. Our goal number one, effective and efficient strategic leadership, governance and administration. And our strategic objective is 1.1, ensure compliance with special requirements and good governance practices by 2019. 1.2, improve the capacity of the entity to deliver by 2019. 1.3, ensure viability and sustainability of SOEs by 2019. Goal number two, a responsive communication policy, regulatory and regulatory environment. Our strategic objective under this goal is to improve universal access to broadcasting services by 2019. The second one, ensure equitable allocation of spectrum to public and private for community players by 2019. In specifically here, we're talking about the spectrum for broadcasting areas. Goal number three, we talk about improved country branding. And our strategic goal number one is to broaden access to information by citizens by 2019. Strategic objective number two, market the country locally, regionally, and internationally to provide an enabling environment for investment by 2019. And then the last goal, transform communication sector, achieve this by support the growth and development of the creative industry by 2019, manage digital broadcasting migration by 2018-19. Number three, strengthen support and guidance of interrelations with stakeholders by 2019. So we have got four programs at the department. Under program one, which focuses on the administration, Our objective statement here is to maintain a sound system of internal controls, resulting in improved service delivery and positive audit outcomes. Over the next 5 years, 5 year period, the DOC will measure improvement as follows: by the development and implementation of the HRD and HRM plans in accordance with applicable legislation and guidelines, and report annually. Secondly, unqualified audit opinion for the DOC, as well as ensuring that 100% of all compliance invoices are paid within 30 days, as required, and 70% of requisitions converted to orders within 48 hours. Thirdly, ensure that the approval and implementation of internal audit policy on an annual basis and 3 year rolling strategic plan and annual progression plan for 2016-19. Strategic objective number two, improve universal access to broadcasting services. In here, we will focus more on conducting research in terms of ensuring that there is evidence-based policy research making and decision making. And over the 5 years, we will focus on ensuring that we, as part of the work that we are doing now on the broadcasting policy review, ensure that there is a development of the and the ascension of the audiovisual digital content act. Secondly, the ICASA amendment bill, and thirdly, the community broadcasting support strategy. Strategic objective number three, broaden access to information by all. The objective statement here is to diversify and develop the media industry in order to broaden access to information by our citizens. Over the next 5 year period, the DOC will measure performance through amending the MGDA mandate, implementing community media support strategy, and supplying 25 community radio stations with broadcasting infrastructure. I must say, in here, this is the function that we envisage that the MGDA will take over and run with it going forward. Strategic objective 4.1 under goal 4. Support the growth of and development of the creative industry by 2019. The objective here is to build a competitive communication industry through implementation of targeted interventions to support the growth and development of the creative industry. Over the next 5 years, the DOC will measure its performance through ensuring that the advisory on the development, production, display of local television and radio content is submitted to the executive authority by the body that the minister has appointed. 4.2, manage the digital broadcasting migration by 2018-19. We will measure our performance by ensuring that the receipt of the analog signal by 2018-19. We will conduct also 30 digital broadcasting awareness campaigns, implementing digital migration program and coordinating the distribution of set-top boxes, and also compiling reports on consumer access to digital broadcasting. In particular, those who receive the government subsidized set-top boxes. Strategic objective number three under goal four: support and guidance of interactions with the stakeholders. We'll measure this by implementation of two communications programs, GTT and regional content hubs. In the main here, we're talking to the work that we are doing within the SADC region. In terms of the SADC TV bouquet, which is on GTT platform. Secondly, facilitation of strategic multilateral partnerships and bilateral agreements, especially in the IT and WIPO. Also, 8 policy papers for SADC, the AU, IT, and WIPO, which guide those who are participating in those forums on the political teams of the country on how they should negotiate the positions in those multilateral forums. Under program four, which is where the bulk of our money goes, we want to improve the capacity of entities to deliver by 2019. Over the 5 years, we'll measure this breakthrough by submission of 5 annual reports and 20 quarterly entity oversight reports to the executive authority, and the signing of one shareholder contract. The mistake is to be one shareholder contract with the SABC in particular, and 20 accountability instruments with the other entities. And lastly, submission of 25 reports on public entities' strategic alignment with the DOC priorities to the executive authority. Coming to the annual performance plan, which is now details the staff plan, our annual target for 2016-17 under effective education strategic leadership by the administration is to get our HR plan approved and submitted to GPSA as a requirement of the Public Service Act, which we will do over the years. Secondly, is the workplace safety plan, which we will do for the next 16-17, 17-18, and 18-19, and also progress reports, which indicate how are we doing just implementing the workplace safety plan. Thirdly, our target audit report for the financial year for the 3 years is an unqualified audit outcome. The next one is the percentage of invoices paid within 30 days is 100% for the period, and percentage of fulfillment requisition process orders within 48 hours of the week is 70% over the period. We also commit to develop a 3-year rolling audit strategic plan, which is a requirement, which will cut across for 16-17 to 18-19 financial year, and also ensuring that the 16-17 internal audit plan and operational plan is approved by the audit committee and implemented and monitored for implementation over the same period. And also the number of reports on performance, compliance, and financial audit conducted. Our target annually for performance, compliance, and financial audit reports compiled for the period which is going to become. On another program two, as I indicated, our indicator for the NCS salary is the audiovisual digital content act implemented. 16-17 white paper on the audiovisual digital content policy of Africa is approved. And 17-18 the act is approved by cabinet. And audiovisual content act is implemented from 18-19. On the CASA amendment, 16-17 amendment being signed with an act, 17-18 annual CASA amendment act monitoring report, and then 18-19 is also monitoring. On the community broadcasting support service development implemented, 16-17 community broadcasting support service approved by cabinet, 17-18 annual community broadcasting support service monitoring report are produced, which will be the same for the 18-19 financial year. Number of community radio stations supported. We support 5 community radio stations in 16-17, 5 in 17-18, and 5 in 18-19. On the MGGA mandate, 16-17, the green paper on major development agencies developed. 17-18 white paper on the media development diversity agency developed. Media development and diversity agency converted into an act. The next one is the community support strategy. 16-17 is a state report on community media support. 17-18 community media support strategy finalized. 18-19 community media support strategy submitted to cabinet for approval. The other performance indicator, a number of reports that the transport production of the health body will compile as per its program. We anticipate that every 6 months we have 2 reports. For 16-17, 17-18 2 reports, 18-19 2 reports. Which will come from the body on how the health budget is.
The next one is from Digital Broadcasting Migrators from analog to digital and switch off. 16-17 analog signal switch off in SKA area, and 17-18 analog signal switch off in borderline areas and inland areas, and 18-19 analog signal switch off in inland areas. The next one talks to the number of digital broadcasting awareness campaigns per annum. We will do 10 campaigns per annum for 16-17, 10-17-18, and 10 in 18-19. The next one is on the number of reports on consumer access to digital broadcasting, in particular those with government subscribe boxes. We'll do 4 quarterly reports for 16-17, 13-18, and 18-19. One of our other programs is the stakeholder engagement that we must coordinate. We anticipate that we will coordinate 10 stakeholder engagements in 16-17, 17-18, 10, and 18-19, 10. The next one is the strategic material partnership coordinated. In here, strategic multilateral partnerships coordinated and bilateral agreements negotiated as within the IGT and WIPA. That will continue for 17, 18, and 18, 19. The next one under this program will be on the number of positive papers tabled at multilateral and bilateral engagements. We anticipate that we will table 2 positive papers for 16-17, 2 papers for 17-18, 18-19, also two papers. Number of international communication programs implemented and monitored. We anticipate that 16-17 will do 2 programs, 18-19, 2 programs, and 17-18, 2 programs, and 18-19, 2 programs. On program 4, which takes the bulk of our budget, we indicated there is a number of shareholder contracts and accountability instruments signed. It's 1 shareholder contract, which is a requirement for all, for 16-17, and 4 accountability instruments signed for all for the period 17-18 and 18-19. Number of oversight reports submitted to the entity and executive. For 16-17, we'll do 5 annual reports and 20 particular entity oversight reports. 17-18, the same number. 18-19 is the same number. The next one is on the number of alignment reports submitted to the executive authority on alignment of entity strategies to developmental priorities. We will do 5. Which means that one entity will be compiled for over the period. The next one, on number of reports compiled on entity governance forum coordinated as per the governance framework. 16-17, 4 reports, 13-18, 4 reports, and 18-19 on, also going to do 4 reports on entity governance. Coming to our structure of the department, as I indicated, we do have 5 entities, and also there's a Department of GCIS. We have got 4 branches, one focusing on policy, strategy, implementation, and support services. Our establishment, number of posts which are approved on the establishment is 374. Salary levels 1 to 6, 32, 7 to 10, 139, and salary level 11 to 12, 104, 13 to 6, 16, 101. However, only 86 of those posts are funded, and the 17 are level 1 to 6, 33, level 7 to 10, 20, level 11 to 12, 18, 16 is 27. As part of operationalizing the department, We also have a number of additional posts in the establishment, which have been defined, facing levels 1 to 6 in the main, who are assisting with the podcasting digitalization project. 7 to 10 is approved. Level 12 is 3. 13 to 15 is 7. I must say, when coming to the budget allocation, the department is seriously underfunded. Our entire budget that we have for 16-17 is 1.3 billion, which will increase to 1.4 in 17-18 and 1.5 billion in 18-19. So if you look at the allocations per program, there's 45 million rand for program one, which is administration. On program two, it's 8.4 million, and program three is 11 million. And the bulk of our money, which is more than 93% of our budget, 1.3 billion, goes into our entities. This is what the Fed is trying to depict. The economic classification as a department, 9 million of the 5 million that we have goes into compensation of employees. Goods and services is 15 million, and transfers is 1.2, and capital payments for capital assets is 84,000. This slide talks to the allocation for program, excluding transfers to public entities and GPS. It's program 1.5 million, 8.4 million for program 2, and program 3, 10.8 million, program 4, also 10.8 million. This slide talks to how much we spend on economic classification. The biggest chunk of our budget of 75 million goes into compensation to employees. Goods and services of about 15.9 goes into goods and services, 84,000 payments for capital assets. So thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, and the Minister. Thank you.
Thank you,
DJ.
Again, I think members, are taking notes, and as I said, the department is the most for entities, and are just appealing to the entities not to copy from the DG. Try to be as brief as you can. Thank you very much. Can I get the next presentation?
Good morning, Honorable Members, Chairperson, thank you very much. Good morning, Minister and colleagues. I think before I start, just to provide some context, the presentation that we are going to take you through focuses essentially on the annual target. Due to time constraints, we are breaking this tradition. We're not going to be presenting the quarterly target. The detailed information for those quarterly targets is in the annual performance plan that has been tabled for you, and I'm quite sure that when we get to question time, we can engage each other on the details. If I can introduce the team, the program heads from GTI that are here with me today, Ms. Kumla Williams, Ms. Nibo Lofada, Mr. Harold Maloka, and the CFO, Mr. Zeli Momeka, I will go through the presentation. I will try and restrict myself to the 15 minutes so that we have an opportunity to take questions. That's why we get to the slides. What I can start by doing is to reflect on the strategic overview, which is on page 3 of the book. The key issue with the strategic overview is it gives a proper context to the work of DCIS. And I want to point specifically to the constitutional provision, section 195, that talks about its role in terms of making sure that we are providing timely and accurate information to the public so that they are able to participate fully in the democracy that we are building. So the essence of DCIS's work is to make sure that we are providing the ability to build a unified nation. It talks to the ability to provide information so that citizens are empowered not only with information on government programs, but in the sense of nationhood. The one area under the legislative mandate that I would like to highlight talks to international agreements. I think if you look on your right-hand side, number 4, conferring there about the presentation. Can I check if you all have hard copies? You don't have hard copies. My apologies. If I can direct the members to page 3, I'm on the third page. It's entitled Strategic Overview, and I was speaking to the constitutional mandate, which was the left-hand column of the table. I'm now on the legislative mandate, and I'm talking to point number 4, which talks to international agreement. And the comment there really was to say that one of the things that we have really focused on and will be a part of the work as we go into the medium term is our international agreement, specifically in terms of bolstering the work of the Ministry of Communications in SADC, in the African Union, as well as in BRICS. I want to move to the next page, which is page number 4, which just talks to the primary goal of the DCIS. And if I can point you to the second bullet point that talks about the actual work that we do, which seeks to achieving integration, coordination, and coherence through all the spheres of government. But primarily the focus here is to make sure that we are reaching out to our African citizens and they are understanding of the work that we do in government.
won't be taking you through word by word. I want to touch briefly on the strategic mission and the values, which is on page 5. And I'll just talk to the values for a minute or so, but by starting out to say that the accountability principles are embedded in the values of the organization. So when we talk about professionalism, we talk about diversity, openness, and transparency. Those are the core values which you would have seen when you came through to do your oversight. And I'm hoping that this year, in the planning, you will have an opportunity to also visit our provincial offices to get a sense of whether we are implementing these values. On the next page, which is titled Situation and Analysis, I can see it is now on your screen. This sets a picture of the year ahead. In essence, these are the environments in which we will be operating. We've listed some of the challenges and the mitigation plans. I will take you through these quite briefly. I won't repeat my colleague's points about limited financial resources, but it is a reality. I think we need to acknowledge it. But as important as acknowledging that reality is giving a sense of how we have approached making sure that we are staying the course and delivering on our mandate. So firstly, we have reprioritized and improved efficiency. We've looked at the departmental resources to see how best we can achieve our mandate within the resources that are available. The second challenge talks about an increased demand for government communication. What is interesting about our 22-year-old democracy is that it is genuinely democratic. People are engaged in the work of government, and there are many voices that are participating. What this has meant, though, for us is that we've had to look at reevaluating the government approach. We've had to think more clearly about the platforms and the language mix. A key feature of this has been the change in demographics, where we have started to look quite closely at the fact that young people are using different media platforms in which to communicate. One of our primary focuses is to look at Bukus and Zelis, government's sole newspaper, to see how we can extend the reach of that publication, and I'll come to that in a little bit more detail later on. The very fact that we are in a thriving democracy means that not only are there many voices, governments, political parties, but there are also commercial voices. And the Minister alluded to this earlier when she talked about the revenue constraints that are likely when we begin to look at some of the advertising messages that are being carried in the media. So we are not only competing against other services, we are also competing against brands for the attention of the government public. So our challenge then is to make sure that we are presenting our government programs timely, and we do this in a manner that is transparent to all citizens. The key issue for us is also to ensure that in this context, we are putting our best foot forward and presenting government in its best possible light. Government competes for talent, and I'll talk to this a little bit later when we get to our budget and how we've allocated resources. So we are not only communicating to empower citizens, but we are clearly aware that we are also in the market case for a smaller pool of talent. So what are we doing about it? We are communicating honestly about what government has achieved. The focus really for us is in explaining what government is doing to implement its program of action. So you'll see a lot of this work, and if you've been following the media last week, we were in the Eastern Cape launching project around the 9-point plan and the ocean economy. If I can take you to the next slide, which is slide number 7. This one is headed number 3, revisions to the 2015-20 strategic plan. Briefly to say that in our engagements with the ministry last year in preparing these strategic plans, as well as our interactions with DTM and the Auditor General's office, it was clear to us that we needed to simplify the way in which we were measuring our work. So a lot of the strategic goals have been revised to make them simpler. And what we have done is we have looked for ways in which we can be more efficient in our approach. So, for example, Program 4, the program that houses the Communication Service Agency, has now been integrated into Program 2. This better aligns the work that we do, it's more efficient, and it really has allowed us to focus on the communication office. As an example, if you look at some of the changes that have been made, they appear to be cosmetic, but in essence what the DTNE and the Auditor General's Office were doing was to make sure that our target setting, our goal setting, uses all of the principles of being specific, measurable, achievable, timely, and of course, being realistic. I want to take you to the next slide, which is on page 8. I think it's a much clearer example of how we've been able to simplify the strategic objectives. So on the one hand, you will see that initially we had 5 objectives in program 1, which is the administration program. And these sub-programs, in essence, had the 5 directorates, each with their own strategic objectives. And you can imagine that when you have multiple strategic objectives in a branch, what you can have is a loss of focus. So we've replaced those 5 with a single strategic objective to bring unity to the actual focus of the team, so that we are focused on a single output. What's also interesting, if I can take you to page 9, to show you how we've implemented the same technique in program 2, which is the area that focuses around our content development. We had 5 objectives, we've reduced those to 3, and the area that has been reduced is program 4. It was program 4, which is now integrated into program 2, simply by evaluating the work, simplifying it from the 3 strategic objectives that have been presented, which is providing effective marketing and distribution, cost-effective media bulk buying, cost-effective and efficient media production and services, to a single strategic objective, which is to provide strategic, to provide efficient and effective communication services. The note at the bottom there in the gray block simply talks to the process that we followed in order to simplify our business operations. And the best snapshot that I can give you is on the following page, titled Strategic Goals and Objectives, and you can see that it's much clearer how it is that we are measuring our work, and therefore I'm hoping that it will be equally straightforward in your assessment of what we do. On the left-hand side, you have the 4 strategic goals, and what you have are the matching strategic objectives on the right-hand side. So typically, the 4 strategic objectives that I've mentioned that were in program 1 have now been distilled into a single strategic objective. It's a much easier way of developing dashboards, and I'm hoping that this will assist you in making sure that you can have proper oversight of our work. In terms of the structure, the structure of the organization is to remain the same. I will skip over the purpose for administration 1 and the fixtures there. If you go to the next slide, please. And go to slide number 6, it's page number 14 in your packet, after the pictures of the interactions, the interactions with the ministry, as well as the Auditor General's Office. I want to just talk to this slide for a minute. What you will see there are program 1, which is the administrative component of the organization. Strategic objective is to provide adequate and effective corporate service functions in pursuit of good governance. The indicators there are the strategic management processes and procedures that we have implemented, as well as the IMNC governance procedures implemented. The important thing here is the manner in which we are approaching reporting. So for us, although I went through it quite quickly, corporate governance is an important part of the operation of the organization. I think we've internalized it, and you will see that in the column on the right-hand side, what we have attempted to do is to give you a sense of how we are going to be reporting on a quarterly basis on the key metrics in the organization. that allow us to have transparency, but also to self-correct as a strategy unfolds during the course of the year, based, of course, on the communication environment and the funding that is available to us. The quarterly report that goes to the National Treasury and as well as the DCME and the Executive Authority will be discussed with you when we come through for our quarterly engagement. I wanted to just comment briefly on the annual financial statement. It's slide number 15. It's entitled 2016-19 Targets of Program. And the comment really there was I listened quite intently to the minister's opening comments, and she set a very clear target in terms of the expectations in terms of the audit outcome. We are in the process of working on our annual financial statements now. We are finalizing these, and I'm hoping that you're holding some as we all endeavor to make sure that we get clean audits in the portfolio. Given that people are at the very heart of what we do, we will be paying particular attention and will be bringing through the human resource plan so that we can discuss it in more detail. You will see when we get to the financial discussion, most of the resources in this department are actually allocated towards employee remuneration. If we can then move to extra slide number 18, which is the discussion around program 2. Program 2 talks to content processing and dissemination, and this is a component in the organization that not only does the publications, but it is responsible for managing all of government's advertising and marketing machinery. The first one that I want to touch on, and I won't go through all of them, I just want to touch on a few key ones. So Vukuzenzele, as you know, in the past financial year, what we did is we piloted moving from it being a monthly to the publication coming out with the fortnight. We've made a firm commitment that we will support this. So every 2 weeks, the newspaper will be available to the public. We are also working quite hard to make sure that SA News, which is reflected at the bottom of the table, talks about daily news updates on key government programs and activities. Our focus is on making sure that SA News becomes a premier news bureau. It's a bureau that will be available to provide information on government's work at no charge, not only to the mainstream media, but also to the community media as it grows. We've spent a fair amount of time and effort making sure that we are digitizing this product so that the information that is in SA News is available on various websites. It's also available on social media, specifically Twitter and Facebook. Honorable members, on the next slide, if I can just point to the language services, we talked about the importance of making sure that we have language diversity. We have a team that translates our material as we do interactions with communities into the various languages, including the fact that we have invested significantly in making sure that the major publications, particularly our newspapers and our SA yearbook, printed publications are available to the public in Braille. The daily news update talk to the work that is being done through our government radio service, which offers a twice daily news bulletin. But at the foot of this presentation, you just see there on the page, we've just added the platforms that I've talked to earlier to speak to our electronic platforms. On page 20, which is the next slide, there I think really what I wanted to pick on with these two elements, the number of trusted reports, and the trusted reports are really important. When the minister speaks about us implementing the National Communication Strategy Framework, the one tool that we'll be using to assess whether it's being implemented across the government system will be the cluster report. And at the bottom of that page, we've also implemented the ability to begin communication monitoring and evaluation of our communication interventions so that we can assess whether they are effective, primarily, but as importantly, whether government is getting value for money. The next slide on page 51, the only comment really was just to point out that when you see an anomaly like 100% in the tables, so you'll see under target 2015, percentage of key messages produced, it says 100%. When you do see that in the pack, it's actually referring to those requests that are demand-driven. So we're not able to forecast them adequately, but we've made a commitment that all of the requests that we receive will action as a department. And that is how we have elected to be measured. So the drafting of opinion pieces, the development of key messages to guide the communications of principals as well as government communicators will be delivered on request, and we intend to make those fully. On the next page, which is on page 22, really just to highlight that we've cleaned up our baseline. So we can now, where we have measured what is possible, we can give clear indicators in terms of what our targets are going to be for the year ahead. So when you see 250 approved media buying campaigns or 500 photographic products and services, it is based on our ability to now measure more accurately the work that we are doing. So although the baselines are slightly lower than what you've seen in years before, we have taken into consideration the fact that we do have smaller budget envelopes in which we're operating, and we're looking at how it is that we can rationalize some of our work to make sure that we can still deliver on our key mandate. So of course, we'll go into this detail when we look at our quarterly report, and I trust that you will hold us to these targets. On page 23, which is the continuation of content processing and dissemination, I just want to make one brief comment to say that the work that we are doing complements what you will see as brand equity. So whereas our focus really in terms of corporate identity management is on national government, we complement each other's work in the sense that the team at Brand SA focuses very much on the nation brand, and we express the nation brand in conjunction with the brand assets that are the components that help us to describe government's work. Now, we in the last year, we took a view that we will be quite aggressive in terms of targeting organizations and people that are using government brands, and I will be bringing some of those reports through and progress in terms of what we have done to minimize the abuse of government brands. I want to go to page 26. It's titled number 6 in your package, just after the photograph of the Invisa program. The essence of this is the area that is the citizen-facing component of our organization. So when we talk about deepening democracy, essentially we're talking about these engagements between government officials, between the public, and as importantly, the engagements are with media. So we have a very robust media engagement framework in which we use our relationship to the media to propagate government perspectives. This year, the cabinet media briefing not only will be a key feature of our work, but we are beginning to look at how we can expand this to get to the provincial legislature so that they can make the work that they do more prominent. We need aid to look at the environment, and we come up with rapid response interventions, and these interventions inform government voice from day to day. If I can move to page 27, program 3. The essence of the component that talks to improving the quality of government communications is one that we are looking at quite closely in this year. So the communication policy will really determine to a great degree the quality of the investment that we make in our communications. That government communication policy is backed up by a focused intervention by the department on building relationships with tertiary education institutions so that we are beginning to make sure that the qualifications for communication speak to the work of government. On the next slide, I would like to just touch briefly on the report around the Government Communicators Forum. What we will be doing is we will be bringing you a view on the work that is happening across government. So we will have a proper discussion on the interventions that government has taken through GCIS to align government messaging through all three tiers of government. If I could just move to slide 29, in closing the work of the program, before I get to the financial discussion, I've spoken about the Invisa program. What is different significantly this year in relation to other years is that we are bringing analytical reports. So the quarterly reports that talk about the Invisa events that are going to be held, we'll begin to look at the actual impact of the work that we do. So we will be able to provide an assessment of our interventions on the ground in support of the government program of action. If I can move then to slide number 50, and this is our budget summary. The emphasis really here is on the allocation of resources to ensure that we are adequately supporting our work. So the table talks to the total appropriated budget, 282 million rand, relative to the payments that we are planning to make, the current payments, as well as the transfers and subsidies for the 2016-17 year. We have demonstrated there how we are allocating resources across the three programs, Program 1 Administration, Program 2 Content Processing and Dissemination, as well as Program 3, which is Intergovernmental Relations, Intergovernmental Coordination and Stakeholder Management. The reason why we have a weighting on Program 1 Administration is that we have not only the head office staff, but GCIS is unique in that we have 9 provincial offices, and the 10th office is actually here in Parliament, and therefore the administrative costs in the operation are quite high. I just want to close by talking briefly about the impact of inflation on our work. One of the reasons why we looked at rationalizing the work of the different branches was because there are literally no increases in budget for goods and services. We have taken this decision in order to make sure that we are able to retain talent, and most of the upward movement that you see in our budget is really around the compensation benefits. So it's our focus to make sure that we are retaining talent in the organization so that we are providing continued service excellence in all the 9 provinces, as well as supporting communicators in the 3 tiers of government. I'm going to stop there so that we can have more time to engage on the issues that are coming. Thank you.
Thank you, very much,
Mr. Mandela.
Thank you, just manage on time. Colleagues, we will have a 15 minute tea break if we can try to be here. Can you take a question and give the presentation? Or let us check if she's available. If not, maybe we can continue. Is she? No, I think we'll have a 15 minute break.
Thank you.
Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, and the Minister. And I promise to be brief. So I will really look at the strategic overview of the Employment Applications Board and then go to the budget. I won't spend time on the APPs because that's a quite a detailed information that is there in the presentation. What we will talk to today. Yes, that's what I'm saying. So I will then talk to the priorities of the FPD, the challenges that we're facing, and the strategic outcomes, and then I'll spend the last 2 minutes on the budget. The priorities for us as an organization during the strategic planning session of 2015, 2016, 2019 to 2020, one is to ensure that the organization becomes a technology-driven content classifier. We also want to emphasize on consumer education and to empower South African citizens and to make informed decisions about their consumption patterns. Thirdly, we will be focusing on the legislative review, and the amendments to the bill have already been tabled to the portfolio committee, and we are now heading for the, we have been given the date for the public consultations that will be conducted by the portfolio committee, and we are grateful and thankful for that, Chairperson. Fourthly, we are looking at local, regional, and international partnerships to ensure better regulation of the web. We have also been in discussions with our fellow regulators. We have got a memorandum of agreement, which is ready to be signed with ICASA, similarly with SABC, and we are hoping that at the end of it all, we will then be able to have a regulators forum that will look at the national regulatory space. On the regional area, in November last year, we tabled to the SADC Forum of Ministers of Communication, and we are collaborating with 15 member states of SADC to look towards a uniform and coherence in policy in the SADC region and better regulation within the SADC region, and we are also looking at comparative legislative framework. Chairperson, we want to take that framework and link it to the framework of the African Union. And in this regard, we have started negotiations and with a potential partner on the African continent. Last month, I was in Nairobi, where we signed a memorandum of agreement with the Kenyan Classification Authority. We will be moving to work towards the West as well, with Senegal and Ghana. And we hope that these initiatives will actually complement what we're doing within SADC, and we will be able to present a framework for consideration by the African Union. And the fifth area of priority for us, honorable members, is the area of research, compliance monitoring, monitoring and evaluation to inform our future priorities and decisions. We are operating in an environment that is unpredictable and that is moving very fast. And in order for us to keep up with both
innovation and an advancement in content as well as in technology, research becomes critical. Chairperson, the acting DG, when he was presenting on behalf of the department, did highlight the fact that funding and is a big challenge for this portfolio. And that manifests itself also in the allocation that goes to us as NGP. So we are looking at resource mobilization and looking at a review of our current structure and looking at other possible areas of funding that can complement the allocation that we receive from the department. And lastly, it is the integration of the informal business into the formal business in terms of the regulation work that we do. The challenges that we are facing are fivefold. First is the proliferation of content to various platforms. Second is the limited funding, as I've already alluded to. Thirdly is the limited monitoring and evaluation mechanism, which we are working on. And fourthly is the increased emphasis on governance and compliance. And that requires a special focus on skills gap. We are addressing this together with the University of South Africa. And next year we'll be launching a one-year certificate program on certification. And this we will do for the region and for the continent. Lastly, one of our last challenges is inadequate empirical data. And these challenges, Chairperson, you will note that they are actually linked to the areas that we have said we want to prioritize. In terms of strategic outcomes, the priority team and priority team on research compliance, monitoring, and evaluation, the purpose of us focusing on this is to inform future priorities, current decision-making, as well as identification of future opportunities, not only in South Africa, but also within the SADC region. The second one is a priority team that focuses on high impact and high visibility. This becomes very important in terms of consumer education, outreach to build active citizenry, empower adults, and protect our children. Honorable members, the reality that we are facing is that we will never be able to monitor everything that is out there. It is just not practically possible for the Parliament Publication Board. So together with the industry, we have identified that consumer education in this area becomes very critical. Priority team three will be focusing on resourcing and financing plans, and that is what I have alluded to earlier on, that we are in the process of reviewing our tax structure, and we are looking at a new revenue streams to supplement the government allocation or departmental allocation. Policy and legislative review. And in terms of the legislative review, the honorable members are fully aware of the processes that are underway in terms of the amendments of the Film and Publications Act. In terms of the policy, we have consulted broadly. We also then made revisions after we received various inputs from the stakeholders in the country. We then incorporated those, and we have tabled that document to the Council of the FPB, which is ready for to be tabled to the Minister for consideration. And honorable members, we are looking at technology-driven content classification, and most
of the work that we are doing has actually moved very fast, and the upgrading of the technology infrastructure of the Film and Publications Board is no longer a question of whether it is a necessity or not. It has gone beyond that. It is a matter of urgency. And this is an area that we are seeking further funding, and in order to be able to meet our mandate. Without any investment in that technological infrastructure, we might, actually, I must not say we might, I can confidently say we can meet those standards. I have spoken to the work that we are doing both in SADC and within the continent and internationally. And this is actually aimed at optimizing outcomes and integrated regulation of the web and international partnerships and regional cooperation is absolutely key in the work that we do because the technology knows no boundaries. Lastly, Chairperson, in terms of measurement of success, and we will measure our success in terms of compliance and certainty in the marketplace. And secondly, we will look at the levels of consumer awareness and behavioral changes among the South African population. Critical for us is the improved levels of organizational efficiency and effectiveness within the FPP. If you allow me, Chairperson, I will then talk to the last two slides that look into the finances. And the first slide that is there is the slide that talks to the summary of the strategic outcome budget. And it is a budget that is focused on the strategic dedication of the organization. And that is for the financial year 2017. And this is totaling at the princely sum of 94 million. The second one and the last is the MTF budget, and this budget is the economic classification, and it is for the 16-17 financial year. Honorable members, you will see that the operational grants is at 86.4, our own revenue is at 8.4, and this is the revenue that we are targeting to increase through the revised target infrastructure. And then we look at the compensation of employees, which is sitting at 49. Goods and services is sitting at 45.7. And the total sits at that princely sum of 94. And that brings to the end, Chairperson, my presentation to the honorable members.
Thank you. while they're still locating a chair, but because of time constraints, let me just go straight into the substance of our presentation this morning. We'll highlight several issues because of where we are sensitive of the time. We'll not repeat the role of MPK division and mission and the strategic role it plays in the media sector as enshrined in the Constitution. Our strategic priorities chair in the next 5 years is captured by three or four areas. I mean, the first one is the obvious one, which is part of the MBDA Act, which is about creating an enabling environment for development and diversity, which reflects the needs and aspirations of South Africans, which addresses exclusion and marginalization of disadvantaged communities, promote media development and diversity by providing support primarily to community and small commercial projects, encourage ownership and control, encourage development of human resource capacity. Oh, all right. Okay. It's on the MDA 5-year priority. That should be the page number 5. And it should be slide 9. I'm on MDA 5-year priorities, slide 9. And really, what I'm highlighting there is what is the set we'll be doing in the next 5 years. And I think with my earlier statement, I'm being emphatic on the issues that MDA will be doing as enshrined into the MDA Act. The second point there is that MDA will continue to enhance its understanding of the impact it's making on the sector. And one of the things we're pursuing in the next 6 to 8 months is to undertake a wide range study that evaluates on the impact of MDA in the last 10 years to fundamentally pick up what are the social dynamics that have emerged in communities. We know that communities are not homogeneous entities. They are very vibrant, and the digital media has also brought in a new spin in the system, and want to be able to know that the responses in our programming, but at the same time that our act in fact takes into account some of those dynamics that I mentioned on the ground, and how we position the organization to be ready for those dynamics. So that's really going to be our focus in the next 8 months. And I think the DDG highlights the point around the issue of MDA after the process, and it's aligned exactly. And so the social impact study will fit into that process so that a responsive approach is better developed. One of the other things that we're doing for the current financial year is the what we call organizational renewal, delivery and growth of the organization, which fundamentally looks at what are the things in the short to medium term that is identified that are actually required from an internal planning perspective, that is developed a new organogram undertaking the organization through an organizational development process, which is on slide 10, still on the 5-year priority. And then the other issue is to continue to expand funding and capacity building support for the sector. Amongst those, we want to look at the capacity development strategy as well as the looking at new funding models to ensure sustainability of the sector and position and continue to position MDA as a leader in the sector. We highlight share the challenges that are confronted by the sector, and I'm not going to dwell on it because both the digital group has actually alluded to it. But I'm just hasten to say that the sector is a very dynamic sector. It changes, it's influenced by community dynamics on the ground. I mean, we are part of the issues we also confronted with now and again, are issues of compliance to contracts that we enter into. but as well as other issues that we are confronted with, particularly around the print, the sector which is related to issues of transformation, and then the other issues around state leadership. And I think, again, it's a reflection of the fact that most of the projects, both broadcasting or print, are always entrenched within a community development framework, and the community development framework now and again is changing. And I think one of the key things we're looking at is how to ensure that with all that space, we remain, the sector remain agents of change, but as well as are able to support the community that remain an effective platform for communication and dialogue and facilitate. Because I think I've been sensitive of time constraints, and more of the specifics is going to be the CEO who's going to speak to the actual ATT. So I've just merged the high level issues, Chair, so that I give them more time to focus on the substance of the annual performance plan. I think in essence, actually, Chair, that leads me into handing over to her so that she can just focus on the annual performance plan issue.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe without just repeating what the chairperson has spoken to and probably some of my colleagues, I just need to indicate that we are operating in a strong policy environment that has with the regulatory and changes in the region. We are performing in the environment that has is changing and has a lot of social dynamics. Communities require more access to information and communication. Media is the correct platform. MPCA is well positioned and is the correct platform for the sharing of information. And as such, this provides an opportunity for the MPCA to expand its role. We do this under great financial constraints on I would not talk about media transformation because the DG from the department has already dwelt much on the same. I'll just zoom into the alignment of the MPCA and strategy and the department. It looks like we have a different presentation before us, and I'll just be talking more on the meeting to ensure that the members are not lot during the presentation. Okay, thank you, Chair. It hasn't brought to my attention that we are now able to view the presentations electronically.
I understand what you say about the presentation. What I'm saying is that members will focus on what you have submitted and then present and become instructing you.
Yes.
Because of concrete members, for the applicant for the new information of the family.
No, thank you, Chair. We have.
Sorry, it's interesting what they're going to do.
I don't know if there's anything new.
Honorable members and the minister. I'm just going to be talking through some points here. The MPCA has five key strategic objectives, and those would be the administration, the grant funding,
advocacy and lobbying, capacity building, and research and training. Under the administration, we have two sub-programs, which is the human resources, the monitoring and evaluation, legal and contract finance, and auxiliary, internal audit and risk, as well as IT. In all our programs, we have ensured that we are aligning our activities with the departments, and I'm not going to be repeating what is already discussed, but I'll just go straight into how MPPA impacts or is supporting the work of the department. For an example, if you look at the first statement by the strategic objective of the department, which is to conduct research and develop communication and broadcasting legislation and strategies improving universal access to the broadcasting services. Specifically, if you go to the MPPA indicators, we are going to be supporting a number of community organizations with a start-up for funding. Under the same strategic objective of the department and MPPA, we are saying that there's a number of community radio stations that are going to be supported for funding. So just the difference between the two, whilst we'll be supporting others for funding, we'll still be considering other aspects, including the training and research on the same. And honorable members, I'm not going to go to one point presented already before the committee, and I will specifically now just focus straight to the MPPA program. Under program one administration, we are saying that, as indicated earlier on, we have our human resources, we have our M&E, legal and contract finance, auxiliary, internal audit, and risk. The strategic objective of our program one, which is administration, we are saying that this program is specifically there to ensure that there's effective leadership, strategic management and administration support to the MPPA through the continuous refinement of organizational strategy, structure, which is in line with appropriate legislation and the best practices. I think just to that note, I need to indicate that we are in the process of revising our strategy. We have revised our program, and this result, which might be repetitive as we are speaking to the human resources, we've also advertised for positions to ensure that the MPPA is a fully-fledged organization that is going to be responsive to all of its mandates. Again, under Program 1, we have grantees funding. I think specifically to this, I'll just go into the objective of that program. And here we aim to promote the media development and diversity through supporting of small commercial and community media projects. And we are saying that our strategic objective there is to promote ownership, control, access to information and content production by the historically disadvantaged and diminishing languages. And also we are focusing on supporting the cultural groups with appropriate grants and seed funding to ensure that the community broadcast sector is sustained and there's development in that space. Our objective statement is that we are going to provide financial support for the digital broadcast infrastructure. We obviously going to ensure that we attain all of our objectives through the alignment with the department and support received from the department and other various stakeholders. Under our program three, we have advocacy and lobbying. Under that program, I think what I need to indicate is that this program seeks to position the MPPA as a leading influencer in the community and small commercial media by playing a key role in the national dialogue on the sector. I will not vote and or present each objective as the information is already presented before the honorable members.
Under program 4, we have two specific objectives, which is the training and development. I think just to bring to the share, we have since revised our program such that in the past we had capacity building as one, research and training as one unit that would give both capacity building, training and development, and we have since revised that. Our capacity building is now going to be focusing on training, and we have research and development as program 5 in our strategy as revised. For now, I'm going to be talking to the AEC of the MDDA. I will not talking to the quarterly target. I'll just indicate the sub-program, what we are hoping to achieve. Under administration, we have human resources, and under human resources, we are saying that by we hope that by the end of this financial year, we should increase about 90% of our funded position. And we are also saying that we are going to be revising our employee development program, which is an annual target. We are also saying that we are going to be reviewing our performance management system. I will not talk to other individual activities which are also intended to be for annual targets, but I must indicate that we are hoping that we have performance contracts for all positions. Under monitoring and evaluation, I think that we are going to be monitoring for the 5 projects annually, and evaluating safety. And under this, I must also indicate that as NPDA, we are conducting the interest assessment, which I think again is going to address some of the issues or areas to strengthen as we would have planned, to ensure that we are playing a constant and ongoing and revised input around the sector. I think also we have outcome forging activities which we have since refined. This is also ensure that we support the work of the department, and we are saying on quarterly basis we are continuously going to be reporting once per quarter. Under the legal and regulatory affairs, I think I must indicate that we have contract management strategy. We are going to develop the contract management strategy. This is lying with the fact that we identify challenges during our support for both community and small commercial projects, and it becomes key for the MCA to ensure that we are constantly managing and monitoring the aspects of our input. We are also ensuring that we revise our turnaround strategy. And we want to ensure that going forward we have all the education issues addressed. I will move to the financial administration and auxiliary services. We are saying number of procurement plans submitted to the national treasury. This is an annual activity, and we hope to do that within our first quarter. And we are also going to be quarterly submitting the financial report approved by the accounting authority. Under risk management and internal audit, I must indicate that we are going to review our and update our risk and management strategy on annual basis. On annual basis, we're also going to be updating and approve combined assurance plan. We are also going to ensure that number of risks based on the internal audits are attended to. Under information and technology management, we are saying that we have the approved revised IT strategy. We are going to be revising our policy, and we are going to ensure that by the end of the financial year, we have a revised business continuity and disaster recovery plan. We are also saying that 100% of our users on IT will be trained on the systems and applications, and we are going to be updating our and upgrading our firewall and antivirus on annual basis. I will go into program 2 under grants and funding. This speaks specifically to the number of activities we are supporting on the ground.
And we are here saying we are going to be supporting number 18 projects. We will enable the online and digital presence through our funding. We are also saying that 70% of the investment fund will be, we are projecting 70% for this financial year. We are saying also that we are going to be supporting 5 small commercial media and 4 print projects will be provided with funding support. And I will go straight into the advocacy and lobbying under this program, which is our strategic goal number 3, program number 3. We are saying that we will have the contact document will be reviewed and submitted as an annual CDT. We are also going to develop MDCA digital and migration, digital migration strategy, and we are also in passing this SCDT. Obviously, we're going to be guided by the department in terms of expectations for the community media in that space, and we are also saying that we're going to develop a concept document which will be reviewed on annual basis for our funding model. And under sub-program 3.2 as well, we have the communications and engagement plan developed, and we want to ensure that we there's lots of networking with our relevant stakeholders and partners. We are also saying that we are going to develop a newsletter which will be produced twice annually, and we'll be reporting annually on our progress as indicated in the plan. And we are saying that we are going to have a number of 15 outreach programs annually, and we are also going to be doing a number of joint interventions with relevant stakeholders, and including the department. And from that, we are anticipating that we have 6 of those annually. We are also saying that we are going to conduct the media awards, which we anticipate that we should have one annually. Program 4 on the capacity building, we are saying that a number of partnership agreements with the associated learners institutions. I must indicate that this is to ensure that our training and capacity building interventions are sustainable and measurable, and also there's an impact in line with that. On annual basis, we are going to be conducting 4, and we are saying that we will also have a memorandum of understanding signed with various different partners adding value in our space, and we are anticipating to have 4 of those. We are also saying that we are committing to have 5 training interventions on either finance, marketing, reporting, governance, and also annually we are conducting the grant orientation workshop. This is to ensure that we have our beneficiaries capacitated with compliance issues proven to be one of the areas that the sector requires. And without repeating or going back to challenges, in all our training and capacity building interventions, we are aiming to address all the challenges experienced within the sector, right from the grant funding to the sectoral challenge. That brings me to the end of my presentation.
Thank you.
that we submitted all the APP, we submitted the strategic plan of the department. We just prepared a short presentation that will take you through all those documents that you have, and so that you have at high level what is the NCP intended to do. For that, as I request that our CFO runs through the presentation with your permission, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and members of the committee. I'd like to start on slide 4, where we talk about the imperative. There is a need to focus on the messaging that is disseminated. The messaging that needs to be disseminated has to be very impactful. So 80%, so 20% of what we do must come out with impactful messaging. So the impact has to be 80% to the community. And we should be able to be responsive. Our messaging needs to be both proactive and reactive to the changes in the environment. And we cannot do that as Brand South Africa without fostering good relationships and very qualitative relationships. Then I will move on to, I'll skip the next slide that talks about vision and mission, skip slide 6, skip slide 7, and then talk to the situational context for planning this strategic plan. We have taken into account various domestic challenges that we are faced with. Some of them might have an impact on the policy development of the country. We've listed quite a few there. We've got transformational changes. We've got youth empowerment and or job creation. Energy security and supply has been addressed quite drastically. The NDP implementation has been prevented. I think recently our president spoke to Operation Tabitha. We also looked at the levels of crime, corruption, and then we are also faced with the 2016 local elections, and of course the upcoming building party progress in 2017. International highlights, then we look at FDI, which is something that we need to then focus on as Brand South Africa in the messaging and talking about the business confidence. Then we talk about our initiatives in assisting the region in trying to keep peace. Then we look at some other geopolitical, sectarian tension and violence that we need to keep track on that has might have an impact on the country moving forward. We've got three strategic objectives to ensure that Green South Africa is a high-performing organization. And of course, our core is then to improve the reputation, perception, awareness, and awareness of the nation brand among targeted audience. And the last one, of course, is then to foster those strategic partnerships with the targeted stakeholders so that you can leverage on them to impact on issues of nation brand. The next slide then talks to our organogram. Basically, we've got 55 employees there, and we've got a difference of about 10%, which has been managed throughout, and we also have positions that are designated for people living with disabilities. Identified stakeholders, I'm not going to dwell into it, but we've got three categories, which is government, business, and civil society, that you need to foster relationships with. And we've got three main programs, which is obviously administration. The second one is brand marketing. We just omitted communication there, so it is great brand marketing, communication, and reputation management. And the last one is the stakeholder relations. The following slide then talks to the outcomes that we have and how it relates to the key messaging and the DOC outcomes and or the NDP outcomes. Our work impact on four of the NDP outcomes, which is outcome 4, outcome 11, 12, and 14.
During this year and the outer year, our messaging will be around the nation building, competitiveness of the country, social cohesion, and of course regional integration. And this we will do through strengthened, impactful, and influential stakeholder relations. And then the first slide that mapped out our focus domestically, regionally, and globally on how we're going to then distribute that messaging and which outcomes we're going to impact on. The next slide is a very busy one that talks to that and all the stakeholders that we're going to use in executing our mandate. And then we talk to the next slide and talk to the budget. We are entirely dependent on the budget application from the Department of Communication. And in the past 2 years, we had accumulated deficit, but this year we have break even. So in 2015, 2016, we have a break even for this year. And moving forward, we expect that we will manage to keep that given the limited resources and the big mandates that we have. So the outcomes that we have, the next slide, the last two slides in our presentation that talks to the outcomes and what we are going to do to again achieve those outcomes. In order to improve reputation assessment and awareness of the nation brand amongst our targeted audience, we are going to develop and implement an integrated domestic pride, active citizen and social cohesion program. Already we have a campaign that was that has been established for quite a while, to Stay Your Part, and it talks to precisely the pride citizen and active citizen in the country. And we're also going to ensure that we have a feedback loop with all these targeted stakeholders within the government, business, and civil society, where we then share the information of the outcomes of our research. And we're also going to then look at an integrated global South African program. So we'll be looking at all South Africans that are in various countries and help them to be our brand ambassadors and present our messaging in the country positively in those markets. And 2.4, then we're going to implement and refine requirements of the Knowledge Hub. We need to, because we are going to be, we are the champions of the nation brand, we then need to have information on hand that talks to the nation brand and the industry and everything else that I have so that you can share this information with all the key stakeholders who we need in order for them to plan on how to address issues that are coming up and challenges that you're facing and opportunities that you present themselves in order to position the country positively. 2.5 then talks to implementation of the strategic South Africa for Inc., where we then go into the region and to establish how South Africa is viewed by other African countries and how they can address that and foster the relationship with the African countries. And then we then do analysis and dissemination of a nation brand performance indicators, of course, which will be available in our Knowledge Hub. And continuously also sustain again the feedback loop to then share the research indices. We'll continue also having our media monitoring to see what's out there in order for us to be responsive to the things that come up that need us to address that have an impact on the nation brand. And how we do that is then to develop content and communication programs to counter all the negative issues that come up in the media space.
And then the last one on improving the reputation and perception will be proactive and, of course, reactive management of media relations. And the most, the last one in our slides then talks about strategic partnership and relationship with stakeholders, where we will manage issues affecting reputation, what the key and relevant stakeholders to. And then the last one will then to develop and implement integrated and domestic international programs. So our stakeholders will just not be limited to South Africa, which is domestic, and it will also spread to the African region and of course globally in order to assist us in managing the reputation of the country. That's about it.
Out is that as the CASA, we do focus on the broadcasting policy because that's what is about.
Department of Communications that allows it to become part of our mandate from a policy point of view. Besides the National Development Plan, what the policy and the national priority outcomes that have been elaborated, outcomes 12, 14, and outcomes 3. Now, as we're doing the situational analysis, what we did look at are the issues that, for the present moment, tend to affect us as a person. You will see we did point out that DDT becomes part of the priority and a number of activities have taken place, both by the Ministry and the Council, especially with the neighboring countries, in making sure that there's cooperation in terms of the digital migration. Within broadband and postal services, it's activities that we conduct in order to ensure in broadband that we look at data pricing and GM facilities, including spectrum availability. Part of that spectrum is in the processing environment. On postal services, roughly issues around challenges to establish and post office, purely because it is cannibalized by the new technologies that are coming. In the internet environment, we focus on the cost of data and device issues. We are somewhere along the line going to look at issues around net neutrality and effect thereof on the provision of content to end users and making sure that society uses them appropriately. On over-the-top services, the issue fundamentally is not what is written in the slide, it's what is effective. What is the effect on the income? Because over-the-top services are entities that operate outside of South Africa most of the time and have an effect, whether it's in the broadcasting environment or it's in the telecommunications environment. I'm not going to talk much on that slide, but just I'm pointing out the committees that the Council has. But on that slide, I want to point out that the Minister has already appointed the four councillors. They are already at the council, they have already been sworn in. So we have got a complement of seven councillors in the present moment that are fully functioning as councillors in the council. The structure has not changed as part of our organization. And as the councillor has already indicated, once we did point out that the percentage vacancy rate is 10.2, which is normal in any organization. That number is about 36, which the councillor has already pointed out. But the most critical position around that are just the CFO and the IT, especially the information, the software, and the digital question. I must indicate that the percentage staff cost, compared to what is in the slide again, is about 7% to the total budget. Now, Honorable Chair and Honorable Member of the Minister, I will skip to the slide that talks about strategic outcomes or related goals. You would note that those in the previous year, we had reduced those strategic outcomes or related goals to 3. We have subsequently then increased them to 4 as we do them over the long term. And the first one is fundamentally looking at broadband coverage. At the present moment, broadband coverage is estimated at about 33.7%, which has to increase to about 97%. That's looking at the speed of about 5 megabits per second, which is a difficult task to achieve in the mobile environment. It's easier in the fixed fiber environment. But the target is that by 2019, 50% should be provided at around about 100 megabits per second as a 5-year strategy. We need to increase access to communication if it's strategic outcomes or related goals too. To communication services at affordable prices through increasing competition by reducing concentration both in the broadband and the subscription services. At the present moment, the existing levels of concentration, which is HHI index, the HA index is about 3,600. But it needs to be reduced to the normal level of concentration of 1,800 by 2021.
performance of three focuses fundamentally on our performance as an organization and our delivery to the stakeholders out there. It has been low in 2014-2015, that's the baseline. But that baseline is not 2015-2016. At the time that we're doing, we were putting the strategy together, we were not in a position to estimate correctly what the baseline should be. But that will also be confirmed by the Auditor General as it goes through the performance of the CAGRA and with the provision of performance information. And then strategy about consolidated goals 4 is fundamental. At the present moment, there are 3 multiplexes that are available. Those multiplexes need to increase to about 7 by 2019. That's depending fundamentally on all our activities jointly in putting set-top boxes in people's hands and making sure that real information takes place. And also at a stage where we then switch off analog and focus fundamentally on digital information. We will be having run about 7 multiplexes by that time. And that's the four suits, and that we expect to be there by 2019. Now, Chair, I'm not going to go through the details of the strategic objectives that each of the strategic outcomes on related goals tends to focus on. But one of the things that I will point out without going through all the slides talking to the strategic objectives is that one, at the time that we're preparing and finalizing the strategy, we had not finalized the process for Free to Act. And in the process, we were not able to award any of the applicants on the Free to Act, which means fundamentally that process will have to carry on into this financial year and the next financial year as we look at the totality of the dynamics around Free to Act. That's one of the issues that has not been included in the target that we have. And then the second one, strategic objectives, is the issue around the licensing of radio in the Northern Cape. It will be the third time that we're going to issue the same invitation to apply in the Northern Cape, and we need to relook at that completely, because in all 2 instances that we've tried to license, we've not been able to. So, and we cannot let that fall by the wayside. So it's one of the other projects that we'll carry on into the strategic objectives. Now, I will go into the entities briefly, but I will touch only a few slides on specifically on licensing. That on licensing, and that you'll see in the first one, 1.1, where we have indicated that the existing spectrum allocation to operators in the broadband environment is about 556 megahertz of spectrum. Up until we use the information memorandum and the invitation to apply, we can be able to allocate additional spectrum, which will take us to about 810 megahertz of spectrum allocation. But you will have seen when you're going through the strategy document at the presentation that in the strategy document and then the quarterly target, what we are focusing on in that particular area this year is engaging the input that we received on the information memorandum in the process in coordination with the policymakers, then to define the invitation to apply, finalize it, and in the process have timelines to issue spectrum either by the end of this year or by the beginning of next year. The second issue that I wanted to point out is it's the revision of the call termination that we have got to do.
And in the revision of the contamination, you would know that the existing contamination regulations are supposed to end by end of 2017, which means the process to review the contamination regulation has to start in this financial year. And then one of the major issues the GMGDA has pointed out and the minister has pointed out is the community range of framework and making sure that communities are engaged, they are licensed, and it's available in the different areas. Then lastly, the issue that has been pointed out by the minister was in relation to ICASA expanding its presence. At the present moment, we have managed to put an office in Mpumalanga, and the intention is that depending on resources that we receive, that we should be able to open an office in the Bohol, Northwest, and Northern Cape. Because at the present moment, the Northern Cape is serviced in the Free State, and the Bohol was sort of attended to by both the Mpumalanga office at the present moment and Gauteng. And Gauteng is also attended to the Northwest. So we need resources in order to make sure that at the latest by 2019 we are able to open offices in each and every province. As the minister has also pointed out, that the present head office of ICASA was busy in a process with the Department of Public Works to get a fundamentally a new building, we won't get a new building. We would just like the CEO or the CEO saying you can give me money to have a new office. So, but it's to get a new lease in another area, which is easily accessible, and make sure that we move our headquarters accordingly. Honorable Chair, I will now hand over to the CEO, CFO, to talk through the budget set program.
Thank you, Chair. The budget for ICASA for the financial year 16-17 to 2018-19 is outlined on the screen. It's 414,581, 435, 205 in 17-18, and 463,447 in 18-19. In this screen, what you're showing is the split, and you've collated all the support functions into an administration component, which basically means your human resources are included in there. Your finance, corporate affairs, as well as internal audit and legal and report fees. The next slide. In this slide here, what we'd like you to take away is now we've split the administration cost that we've shown you before. And you're showing you that finance has a budget of 49 million, policy and research and analysis 15 million, licensing 48, internal audit 13, legal risk and compliance 26, consumer affairs, and basically these are the subdivisions in within ICASA, and we're showing you the growth for each subunit so you can see where the focus area is going to be. The building that the minister has indicated for the new office in Mpumalanga is included under corporate affairs, hence we see a substantial increase in that particular in the next slide. In this slide we're detailing the same for different cost line items. So that one is able to see which cost line items are going to have the highest growth, and they can actually see that when we increase that majority of our budget, which is 67%, lies in our staff costs, it's really outlined, and you can see the projected increase for the year, taking into account inflation. We've also seen an additional cost, which is the inclusion of the new transfer for 22 million. This is an error that has been put on the micro. We apologize for that. Because in the previous year, we actually did not have a full seat of counselors. We only had three, so we had savings in that line item. And then in the final slide, we're showing you the total budget that is allocated for the intermediate for 1 year comparative to see what happened from 14-15 to now. We're moving to 414,981,000. And OPEC being 413 million, and projects taking up 28 million of that. And there were questions around why we don't have CAPEX, is that we don't intend having any CAPEX spend, and then the execution didn't engage heavily on that. That's why there's a zero there. And then we obviously cannot budget for a lost oil surplus, so that is definitely absorbed with the depreciation of our assets.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. Will I reach questions if there are any questions? Chair, there's some more come. Still have to raise up their light after energizing or comment or question. Can you have SABC? Thank you, Chair, for allowing the opportunity to do this presentation. On the SABC team, we are with a fellow board member, Dr. Chizumba. We've got the acting CEO, Jimmy Matthews. We've got our COO, Saudi Swene, and James Aguma. So those people will be talking to the presentation and the rest of the team. But we've got covered in our presentation the company purpose and strategic overview generally, and then we've got delivery on strategy. As our minister has already indicated that as much as we've got obligations in terms of the Procurement Act to account on both sectors, but for competitive reasons, we're only speaking to the public mandate that we're hearing. So we've got Jimmy here, who's going to be presenting the rest of the team to speak to different issues, and then we'll talk to the questions afterwards. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Minister and colleagues. I economy, which has felt the impacts of the global slowdown and is susceptible to foreign exchange fluctuations, which have a significant impact on its exports. Finally, as a commercially funded state-owned enterprise, the SFEC operates within a unique internal environment, one in which it must move with agility to compete with commercial competitors, yet still comply with public sector operating guidelines. And we can talk about the constraints of that later. The global media environment has been dominated by a number of key trends, which are set to continue to have a dramatic impact over the next few years. Until recently, South Africa is largely shielded from any of these developments. After long hiatus, the South African media environment is beginning to show signs of the massive digital change which has affected media economies in other parts of the world. The key changes impacting on the South African media sector include changes to the regulatory environment with the licensing of new broadcasters and especially the launch of terrestrial television. The launch of several over-the-top streaming video on demand services offering access to local and international movies and television feeds via the internet. The rise of multi-platform television access, where viewers now expect to be able to view traditional television content on mobile, gaming, and desktop devices, as well as on TV sets. The popularity of new forms of video content, especially short format user-generated video on social media platforms. Digital migration. The SABC will continue to work closely with the Department of Education on the Go Digital South Africa Awareness campaign to educate and inform South Africa about this journey of taking our television broadcasting to new users of digital broadcasting with exceptional future and transparency. SABC has been preparing for the migration and has 5 television channels on the launch DVD, along with 19 radio stations. SABC plans to launch additional television channels on the DVD platform in future years. Today, corporation has achieved the following. To obtain channel authorization from ITASA to broadcast stream center television services and 19 radio stations. Implemented the infrastructure to provide content on the DVD platform consisting of SABC 1, 2, and 3, as well as the news channel and Encore. Created an industry standard digital technical infrastructure to enable multi-channel broadcast on the DVD platform. Implemented the technical infrastructure to provide 19 domestic radio stations on the multi-channel. And launched SABC News and Encore as new television channels incubated on the satellite DTH platform in preparation for the launch of DVD. Set our strategy for 2015-2019. For 2015-2016, our strategic goal is to be a financially sustainable organization. And given the challenges that we are faced with regarding funding, and reference has already been made to that earlier by the Minister, I think it's probably an opportune moment to point out that without forming strategic partnerships, it would be extremely difficult to fulfill some
quarters when the local government elections start to take place. We the SABC have no choice in the matter. We are obliged to cover the elections, and we have to cover the elections in the professional manner in which we've done in the past, and which is expected of us by the citizens of this country. Now, if we only had to do the elections in August, that would be a challenge, or a sufficient challenge. But in August, we have the Olympic Games. In August, we have an incoming rugby tour. In August, we have TAP. In August, we have a cricket tour. All of this, the public expects their SABC to cover. And we have to find the funds to do that, and the revenue to do that. And without forging strategic partnership, it would be extremely difficult on the budget that we currently have been allocated. And so I'm not exaggerating the role of the COO. I think if he played a big role previously, in August, we're really going to test his organizational skills and his negotiations. So I want to put on record here that we're expecting the COO to work a lot harder than when he evaluates the performance of the bonus and will be set up by the board. Another strategic goal is to grow and maintain audience share by meeting the needs and expectations of multicultural map and niche audiences in all of the South African languages. Sorry, I should be referring to 2016, 2017, I was looking at 2015 and 2016. So, to be financially sustainable, to acquire and schedule compelling and quality programming spanning a range of genres in all official South African languages, and exceeding mandate objectives across traditional and digital media platforms. And I want to also point out that we do indeed exceed our mandated objectives. To develop a dynamic and motivated fit-for-purpose workforce that embraces learning and is sufficiently adaptable to migrate into the digital age. And this is one of the major challenges that we have at the SABC. In the last 3 or 4 years, we've seen our industry almost flipped on its head as we migrate from analog to digital. And while the digital dividend is quite exciting, we need to recognize that we have a workforce that almost needs to be retrained to take advantage of the technological advancements that we've experienced in the last few years. And then, of course, we have to ensure compliant governance practices that complemented by effective risk management and internal control. I've made reference to financial sustainability. We need a diversified funding model, cost containment measures on fixed cost base, reinvestment of profits in line with mandate requirements. And yes, here's one of the challenges that we are faced with. We a public service broadcaster. We are not a commercial organization. Our focus should not be on profit. And yet the demands and requirements on the SABC is such that we are required to generate a profit, and that we should reinvest in the business.
Basically, on slide 25, I was just talking to the income statement and also referred to 27 issues of the financial statement. We have presented before you a budget of about 9 billion that consists of basically the major sources of revenue, so the SABCD, advertising and sponsorship revenue, which sits at about 81% of our revenue stream. And the other major one is 12%, which relates to TV licenses. Then under operating expenditure, we've got categories there, the main business of our three broadcast. The budget is about 1.9 billion for the amortization of program, film, and sports rights. And that will rise to 2.1 billion in the following year, 2.3 billion. Included here also the costs of broadcasting, broadcast costs and signal distribution and the cost is about 1.5 billion per annum. The SABC will just want to announce that in the broadcast costs, we've also provided for the payments of royalties to artists. And we have taken a decision that we shall be setting this from 2006. So we will be paying these and providing for them. I need just to probably bring attention to the members about what has informed the budget. As the CEO has said, we are redirecting our assets and resources towards broadcasting. We're putting a cap on the staff numbers and only recruiting those that are directly influencing broadcasting. Any savings and fees that will arise from efficiencies will be plowed back into broadcasting. However, what we need to also bring to your attention is what we colloquially call the funding gap, where, as the CEO has said, we have a challenge that we have a public mandate that we need to achieve, and then yet we need the sources of funds, the majority of which, or say, 81%, come from commercial ventures. This creates a funding gap in the sense that in dealing with public mandates, do not necessarily get returns. We know that for sports rights, for example, you could pay 100 million for a couple of games, and the advertising and sponsorship from that would come up to, 10%. I mean 10 million, which means you're returning 10% for each one that you spent. Therein comes the importance that CEO has alluded to strategic partnerships. And this means that we need to enter into targeted content licensing agreements with other partners in the broadcasting space. And I think the CEO is driving this. We know that, for example, the Anchor channel and also the news channel are driven by this. And that means that we are able to get funds which ordinarily we would have got from them. Another pressure that we have on the budget is around the cost of sports rights. Members will probably want to know that for some of the AFCON games and World Cup qualifiers, the costs have increased by over 60%. And these are dollar-denominated costs. We were charged, just for, say, about $21 million for that. And at the rate of about 16 at that time, it meant that we needed to drop back to 350 million rands for a set of games that we know that the return may not exceed 10 to 12 million. So this is the demand that we have on the left hand for public services, but the financing is coming from the public and private funding sources. And here, I just need to mention that in this area of sports rights, it is the individuals that who negotiate for these rights that determine whether you're going to make a saving or not. We battled for some time to negotiate, but however, in this area, it's a personality issue.
and thanks to the gentleman next to you, you are able to reduce the cost by about $2 million. And you're talking about $32 million. And I'm just saying that that's fundamental that in certain negotiations here with our space that it deals on the cost margins. But another issue that is putting pressure on us is government assistance or the CEO assistance is reducing. From 2011, our government fund runs as a percentage of total revenue was 2%, and its rate increased to 3% currently. But fundamental and important government initiatives like the elections are not even funded. We've asked Treasury to give us these funds, we've not got them. That's enough to be COO has managed to get us about 15 million rands from strategic partnerships to achieve that. So we've got a funding gap of 17 or so million. I think it's important for members to realize that now what we're doing is we're now funding some public initiatives out of our own reserves. And that makes no sense immediately, therefore, of the concept of profit. Because on one hand, we have a public mandate, on the other, we have private profit of funds. So it's very hard to even break even in this arrangement, because only 3% of the funds actually come from government. The rest is funded from our reserves. So the pressure that CEO is basically around the potential effect of the alcohol ban on revenue. If that happens, then we are going to probably lose over 500 million in revenues from alcohol. So we have budgeted that the ban may not happen, but we're conscious that things will change if that happens. The other pressure that you talked about is forex. We have an exposure to a lot of foreign exchange liabilities that talk to the acquisition of sports rights and also some of our technologies. We've calculated that a 1% depreciation in the rand and the current open liabilities that we have translates into 5.5 million of a loss in the SABC. When I mean a loss, it's a forex loss. If the rand just salaries is also another area. We budgeted 7% for that. But we know that at times through hungry this amount could increase. Sports rights, I've already talked about that, the foreign exchange exposure. That we can manage or we manage through hedging. However, the cost of the actual rights at this stage, without having people like the COO who know these companies and individuals who hold the rights, becomes very, very difficult to manage the business in that regard. Then we also want the members to realize that there is a new risk that is creeping in, and this talks to the usage, the license of enterprise-wide software. The companies that own the rights to this software are now conducting audits. And then they come out and say, you have overutilized those rights. Currently, the SABC has been exposed to this audit, and there is a claim, a substantive claim that these companies are using. And I think it's very important that you realize enterprise-wide software, especially those that underpin databases. The owners of those licenses are now coming and triggering an audit and dropping a bill on your table saying you have overutilized this asset, brings in unbudgeted liabilities in our books. And our bill was about 173 million, which we are now disputing over the year. On the slide on the cash flows, 2017, we say that we intend to close the year with 900 million in cash, and 17, 18, 895, and a delta billion in increased investment in content, which is the RSP book, and we also are going to increase investment in broadcasting infrastructure that is in line with the transition from analog to digital. And we will also, therefore, be increasing our investments also in investing surplus cash in the money market to increase in the finance interest of the
thank you
very much.
Thank you, Silver. So clearly the pressures that we've placed on our budget because of the complex situation that we find ourselves in, where the SABC has to fulfill its mandate as public service broadcaster, but has to compete in a more and more competitive commercial environment. And the CFO made reference to the fact that the SABC had to find innovative and some cases even unusual ways of sourcing revenue. In order for us to continue to fulfill the role that's expected of us, content and platforms, we are required to provide diversified content, services and opportunities for provincial audiences and people with disabilities. And again, maybe to point out that the SABC is the only media organization in the country that broadcasts and publishes in all the official languages. We are committed to investing in developing our provincial, not just provincial audience, but provincial infrastructure, and to try and get to a situation where there's less dependence on corporate craft as the hub of everything. We are required to invest and develop the product. Technology and infrastructure to support the changing broadcast landscape. If you're a broadcaster like myself, this is one of the most exciting periods that we're going through as the technology allows us to do some of the things that we don't dream about in the recent past. But all of this costs money, and unfortunately, a lot of what we do is dollar-based, as the CFO pointed out, the pressures that the fluctuating exchange has on the operations of the agency. One of our objectives is to remain dominant in terms of audience share and provide programs, services and partnerships to bring the most SABC content to the most people. And what we mean by that, and this is why we are excited about the migration from analog to digital, is the fact that we will be able to take all our content and programs to the remotest parts of the country and areas of the country that previously we would have ignored, not because we choose to, but simply because of the lack of infrastructure. The migration makes this digital migration makes this possible for us to do now. So if I look at some
number of provincial properties, and the performance indicator to that is the number of provincial properties and interest that we broadcast. We increase the number of programs productions that will allow people with disabilities access to public broadcasting, and the indicator is the number of properties broadcast with sign language, the number of companies controlled or owned by people with disabilities from which content was secured. The launch of six launch SABC channels on BBC. So the indicator for that would be the additional channels carried on the BBC transmitter network. And to distribute SABC programming over the internet, the number of programs and radio stations distributed over web-based platforms, and the growth of critical social media followers. And let me make a point out that currently the SABC News Online is one of the top 10 digital news sources in the country. And that's using our current budget to develop the digital platform. We want to provide balanced, accurate, and relevant coverage of local government elections. And to do that, we have to comply with the approved election broadcast plan and the regulatory and legislative requirements. And I want to mention again that we don't have a choice in this. We have to cover the election. We have to find the budget to do this. And otherwise, again, I think we basically get the COOs to go and negotiate for that budget. I realize that we are proceeding the 15 minutes that we've been allocated. In terms of our human resources, I've made reference earlier to the challenges that we have when it comes to exploiting fully the evidence that the digital age gives us. We have to enhance talent, we have to introduce a performance management program, and we have to do that with an integrated workforce plan. Maybe just to end off by saying that the rest of the strategic objectives are indicated in the presentation. However, the full set of 3 years are in the corporate plan.